oil's back up again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This conflict between Russia and Georgia is having a widespread economic impact. Today, Russia's stock market fell to its lowest level in 2 years, and the price of oil climbed a dollar from three-month lows. It's at $115 a barrel. The fighting in Georgia could threaten a key oil pipeline. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, on this. Stephen, tell us more about this pipeline.
It's the second longest pipeline in the world, 1,100 miles. It stretches from the Caspian Sea through Georgia, and it winds up on the Turkish Mediterranean coast, where the oil is shipped off, most of it, to Western Europe.
And how crucial is this pipeline to the world's oil supply?
Well, it's carrying about 1 million barrels a day, and it's the kind of crude that the West needs the most. It's the light, sweet crude that we want. From Europe's point of view, this pipeline is strategically very important because it doesn't pass through either Russia or Iran. It passes through countries that are broadly friendly to the West.
Well, Stephen, has this pipeline been damaged that we know of? And what are the prospects for it getting damaged during this conflict?
Well, there were reports at the weekend that Russia had dropped bombs in the vicinity of the pipeline. It passes only about 35 miles from the South Ossetia border. BP, which owns 30% stake in the pipeline, says it hasn't been damaged. Most of it is actually buried. However, actually, there was an attack on the Turkish section of the pipeline last week, apparently by Kurdish separatists, which closed the pipeline down, and a lot of oil had to be shipped by rail and other means to get out to the West. So there's no doubt that although it doesn't appear to have been damaged yet, it is vulnerable. And the longer the fighting goes on, the more vulnerable it could become.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Wall Street would love a repeat of Friday. The Dow added 300 points to end the week. It starts this week at 11,734. It was up about 2.5%. The S&P 500 gained about the same amount to 1,296, and the NASDAQ was up 2.5% as well. Today in Japan, the Nikkei added 2%, and European shares are up a bit. The latest numbers on magazine circulation come out today. The trend has been that newsstand sales are falling, but subscription levels have been pretty steady. They're even up in some places. But that's not necessarily good news for the magazine business. Ashley Milne-Tite explains.
Most magazines offer yearly subscriptions for a fraction of the newsstand cost. Samir Husni teaches journalism at the University of Mississippi. He says that cut price move was intended to lure more readers, who in turn would attract more advertisers. And it worked for years. But he says print advertising is on a downward spiral, and magazine publishers need to revise their business model.
They have to slash the newsstand price, or they have to increase the subscription price.
He says readers who value a magazine's content will pay for it.
Like People magazine. People are willing to pay $99 to subscribe to People. While if you subscribe to another magazine from the same company, Time magazine, for example, you can get it for $19.
But celebrity addicts aren't the only readers willing to pay up. Husni points out that The Economist charges a hefty newsstand and subscription price, and it's also doing very well. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The Chicago Cubs are having a great season, but they are on the auction block. Tribune Chairman Sam Zell has put the Cubs and Wrigley Field up for sale. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine says with this deal, Zell might be doing a little tax dodging. Alan, what do you mean?
Well, it's too bad he doesn't own the L.A. Dodgers, but we'll let that go. If you look at everything Zell has done, or much of what he's done over his career, which is almost 40 years, and you look at the Tribune deal, you see there's a tremendous pattern of making sure no money or a minimal amount of money goes for income taxes to Uncle Sam.
Well, how does he do that?
Well, in the case of Tribune, he concocted a scheme that turned Tribune from a standard, boring C corporation where the company pays tax and shareholders pay tax on whatever dividends they get into what's called an S corporation, where the shareholders pay taxes directly, except the only shareholder of record for the S corporation is an employee stock ownership plan, which is tax exempt. So at the end of the day, the whatever operating profits Tribune has are tax-free.
Well, how does this affect the company and its employees?
Well, the company is in, as you know, big trouble because
right.
Zelle borrowed way too much money, and the company's having a lot of trouble making its interest and principal payments. And if it becomes taxable, the sales of Newsday and the Cubs and all that become taxable. It really is going to put even more stress on the company, which right now, if you believe the bond market, is sort of dicey and may not make it because its bonds are selling at a big discount. It would be bad for the company and bad for the employees, but what Zelle did in buying the thing was already bad for the company and bad for the employees.
So, Alan, then why are you pulling for Zelle to lose this tax game?
Because if Zelle can get away with this, with paying no taxes on the operating profits because he made it an S corporation,
mm-hmm.
and then not paying any taxes on the built-in gains at the time of conversion, that then becomes a template for a lot of other companies to try to do the same thing, and that's not a good thing.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
You're welcome, Scott.
Feel free to share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.